All right. Good evening, everybody. How's everybody doing tonight? All right. Microphone nice and crispy, and that's always a good thing that you could hear me. It's good to be here tonight, and got our televisions working. Look at there. Me on the screen. Why don't I turn around? Man, three Justins in the house. That's trouble. That's trouble, son. But anyway, I just want to, again, just thank Brother Randy and Spencer, Larry Bennett, Miss Ashton, and others for making all this happen, getting this stuff up, and, of course, all the donors and people who have given behind the scenes, who wanted their names to remain silent. We are getting there, and we are so excited. And everything is shaping up for Jubilee, which is not this Sunday, but next Sunday, right? Next Sunday is Jubilee kickoff. And saying that, I want to jump right into a couple things concerning that. If you're planning on eating during Jubilee week, have the sign-up sheet here to my right. And also, we do have a caterer that is catering the week. And so we're excited about that. But I will ask of you, if you would like to bring a dessert to go along with that, that's the only thing that's not being supplied is the dessert. And so I got a dessert sign-up sheet, and thank you, Miss Lee Ellen. I know she's not here tonight, but she'll probably watch later or watch it now. I want to thank her for that sign-up sheet and the food sign-up sheet and all the other sign-up sheets, the flyers, everything, and everybody. And I didn't intend on mentioning names tonight, but everybody that has helped get to this point, thank you. Thank you so very much. And so remember those sign-up sheets. Let's remember our young people tonight. They are skiing. They are skiing. Or at least they're arriving, but they are there, and let's pray that they'll have a good, safe time, and not only have a good time physically skiing, but, you know, have a great time spiritually as well, and that the Lord will speak to their hearts, and if someone isn't saved, that they'll get saved, even if a leader isn't saved, that they will get saved, but those that are saved, that they would be encouraged and strengthened. I do want to make an announcement tonight. On our small Wednesday night crowd. I want to make this same announcement Sunday morning. But I'm going to draw attention to Tyler right back here behind you, Lily's boyfriend. Tyler got saved last night. Me and Tyler did, we talked for, I don't know, all together probably 3 hours. It was some during the day. Us three, we were out, you know, getting some lunch and going to some stores. And then last night on the phone during FaceTime. And when he was an eight-year-old boy, he thought he got saved and he prayed a prayer. But, you know, he was doubting, a little unsure. And so we nailed it down last night, didn't we? And so we praise the Lord for that. And so we're going to be scheduling a baptism pretty soon and baptizing Tyler. And so that is a tremendous blessing. What a way to start off before Jubilee. I mean, hey, my prayer is that this thing will fan the flame and everybody will catch fire for the Lord. And the Lord is doing great things here in the church and outside the church. And I just thank you all for being on board with what we're doing here at the church. We really appreciate it. Great things. Great things are in store. And so remember that. I do want to go through the Jubilee list briefly. Again, Jubilee is March the 3rd through Thursday, March the 7th, and Sunday morning we have Brother Snyder doing the preaching. And he's coming along good, by the way, from his back surgery. He's recovering very good. And so we praise the Lord for that. But he will be preaching then, along with Second Coming, singing, the gospel group. That night, Sammy Burgess will be doing the preaching, and along with Second Coming. We have Second Coming the whole day. We're excited about having them. Monday night, Carl Partain will be preaching for us, and his family, the Carl Partain family, will be singing. Has anybody heard the Carl Partain family sing? All right, two in the sound room. They've been singing for years. They have their own CDs. Brother Carl is a tremendous preacher. He actually pastors in Alabama, near Sand Mountain. There's a place called Sand Mountain over there in Alabama, just across the line. and he's over there pastoring. But he's preaching that Monday night. And a Tuesday, David Smith and the Pine Valley Baptist Church Choir will be singing. And continue to remember Brother David. His cancer has, it was contained and now it's not contained. I don't want to say it came back because he still had it, but it has certainly spread. And so he's trusting the Lord for a touch in his life with that cancer. And we're going to have special prayer for him when he gets here that night at some point in the service. Like we did, if you guys remember, we called on the deacons to surround Brother David and others a couple years ago. So we're going to do that again. But Brother David Smith on Tuesday, Wednesday, Michael Soup is preaching. And then the Joy Heirs are coming in town. They're going to be with us for Wednesday night and Thursday night. And Thursday night, Mark Stroud will be preaching for us. He pastors Wahoo Baptist Church up in the Dahlonega area. He's a former banker and turned pastor. And he's a tremendous preacher. Of course, Brother Brian will be having our junior jubilee downstairs. And again, Monday through Thursday, we'll have a dinner around 5 o'clock, 5:30. So just a great time on the horizon. So just be much in prayer for that. If you would. Let's see. Also, I did want to repeat that our meeting, our Jubilee meeting, will be in the Marietta Daily Journal this coming up Saturday. So be on the lookout for that. And you can save that little article. That's always a nice little keepsake. And so that is concerning Jubilee. All right. Brother Don and Sister Carla are catching their flight tonight. They had standby tickets for possibly earlier today, but that didn't happen, so they purchased some, and so they're probably loading up or just took off at this very moment, and they'll be back home in Cajamarca, Peru, on tomorrow morning, and so just remember them. I did not like that they had to leave, but I know that that's where they're supposed to be, and but let's just remember Brother Don and his physical problems he's experiencing. Out of all those tests, no answers. It's good, but again, it's frustrating, as he mentioned, not being able to find the problem. And so let's remember him and Miss Carla. Again, we'll remember our children's home tonight as they're away, and those that are that didn't go, that are on the campus tonight back at home. And so let's remember them. Let's remember Brother Harold Dolph in our prayers. If you would, I believe he was out of town last Sunday, and so he should be back this Sunday, hopefully, and Lord willing. Just continue to remember Miss Connie Norton with her heart issues, who's at home. Randy, Diane Ely, the Dailies, the Ashworths, Jimmy and Jenny Clinton, which are shut-ins. The McCrickards, which are shut-ins. Joyce Manning, shut-in. And then James Tolan Brown, that's in the Marines. And Kevin Brook at Champion Christian College. And so let's remember all of these in our prayers tonight. Open up the floor. Maybe someone has a prayer request, a praise, or something they'd like to mention. Hassan? February 28th, okay. All right. We'll be praying for you. Thank you for sharing that. Miss Mary? At Bethel? Remember this prayer request tonight. Anybody else? Sorry to hear that. Let's do remember this prayer request. Anyone else? All right, well, just thank everybody for coming out tonight, and let's just have a time of prayer together. Remember all these requests. Ask the Lord to protect us while we're here worshiping. I know that, to some that may sound silly, but that's our prayer nowadays. You're not safe anywhere. But we'll be praying that God will protect us as we worship tonight. We'll pray for all these requests. And again, there's nobody below tonight. All the young people are gone. The youth has the night off. It's just us. So, Ms. Cass. Amen. I appreciate that. I so appreciate that. I really do. Appreciate that word. Anybody else? All right. All that would, meet us in the altar. You can pray where you're at, or you can come down forward, however you like to do. And Brother Jeff has a song for us. And no Calvary's Gospel Group tonight, but that's not the end of us. That's just the beginning. attention again to our TVs. Look how nice that is with the Calvary logo. Isn't that wonderful? Man, I'm not going to be quiet about this. Y'all going to keep hearing me till you're tired of hearing me. I know you're not going to be tired of hearing me. I'm just so, so thankful. All right. If you have your Bibles tonight, and I'm sure you do, turn to 1 Samuel chapter 17. Very familiar story. This is the only thing I could get settled on. Brother Jeff, this is the only thing I could get settled on for tonight. Just a good reminder this evening about David versus Goliath. A lot of teachers and preachers use this when it comes to youth services, but it's not just for the youth, as it is for the youth, but it's to all of us. And so tonight you're not going to hear anything new or for the first time, but I do just want to revisit this story and reiterate some very, very good points out of 1 Samuel 17, David versus Goliath. Let's bow for a word of prayer, and then I want to summarize what's taking place. And then we're going to mention four things about this battle when it comes to David versus Goliath. Father, we come to you tonight, not in our name, not in no earthly person's name, but we come to you tonight in Jesus' name. And Father, we are just so very thankful for our salvation tonight. Those of us that are saved, Lord, we know that whenever we die, heaven will be our home. But God, tonight we pray for your coming so we can miss the graveyard and go up in the air, Lord, all together as a church family, because we know your return is imminent. It's going to happen. We're just thankful tonight that we belong to you. We're part of the family of God. Father, tonight I just pray that the Holy Spirit would use me. Pray that you would captivate the hearts of those that are here. Give me the attention, Lord, of the people. I pray for those that are watching on Facebook that you would bless them. Those that are listening on our Calvary Baptist Church website, the live stream, God, that you would just bless those that are listening and watching tonight. And I pray that by the time we leave tonight that our faith will be encouraged. And Lord, that we would be ready to face tomorrow in and through your power and your name. We love you tonight and we praise you and thank you in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. Tonight we have the story of David versus Goliath. Who's heard this story tonight? Raise your hand. Of course. David versus Goliath. We know that early on in this chapter that... In fact, verse number 1, the Bible says, "Now the Philistines gathered together their armies to battle." We know that there was a battle taking place. And the armies of the Philistine were on one mountain, one hillside, one area. And then the armies of Israel was on the other mountain, was on the other hillside, the other area. And in between these mountains was, the Bible says in verse 2 at the latter part, the valley of Elah. And Saul and the men of Israel were gathered together and pitched by the valley of Elah and set the battle in array against the Philistines. And of course, what we just said, verse 3. Verse 4 says, "There came out a champion out of the camp of the Philistines named Goliath." Then in the next several verses, verse number 5 down through verse number 8, gives the description of this giant. Talks about his armor and talks about his weaponry and all of these things, his stature. And we know in verse number 8 down through verse number 10 that Goliath was taunting the armies of Israel. Verse number 8, the Bible says, "And he stood and cried unto the armies of Israel and said unto them," listen to this, "Why are you come out to set your battle in array? Am not I a Philistine, and ye the servants," or "ye servants to Saul? Choose you a man for you and let him come down to me." So Goliath is saying, "Ye armies of Israel, I can take any one of you. Come on out, anybody, give me a man. Come on down and meet me in this valley. Verse number 9, the Bible says, if he be able to fight with me and to kill me, then will we be your servants. But if I prevail against him and kill him, then shall ye be our servants and serve us. And the Philistine said, I defy the armies of Israel this day. Give me a man that we may fight together. When Saul and all Israel heard those words of the Philistine, they were dismayed and greatly afraid. So this giant has casted fear over God's people. And that's the setting that we have. And as you know the story, there was a young shepherd boy by the name of David. And he is running groceries, so to speak, to the armies of Israel. And he seen and he heard this giant while he was there upon his delivery. And it bothered him. It bothered him that this giant was taunting and harassing Israel, and no one was standing up to this giant. So in essence, David says, if no one's going to stand up to this giant, I'm going to stand up to this giant. This giant must fall. Let me ask you a question tonight, our Wednesday night crowd. Do you have some giants in your life? Those watching on Facebook, do you have some giants in your life? You might say, Brother Justin, there's no big, hairy, tall man in my life causing me trouble. Well, I'm not talking about necessarily a big, hairy, tall man. There can be all kinds of giants in your life. You can be facing a giant of fear where you have paralyzing fear in your life. You can be facing some kind of physical element along with that mental element of fear. You can be facing some kind of giant when it comes to bills or a relationship or something that you're fighting privately in your own spiritual life. We all have giants that we face and that we battle. And so what's the giant in your life? The title of the lesson tonight is just simply David versus Goliath. What giant is in your life? What giant is in your life? And so in life we encounter problems. Sometimes they're small, sometimes they're medium, sometimes large, and sometimes giant problems. But regardless of the size of the problem, listen to this. Whether it's small, medium, large, extra large, or giant, regardless of the size of the problem, the answer is always the same, and it's simple. That is, the Lord is the solution. I know you've heard it, that's nothing new, but listen, the Lord is the solution. He is the solution. And so that giant that you're facing, that situation that you're facing, have you gotten victory over it? Do you have a victory over that giant? Are you winning tonight over that thing in your life that is been crippling you? If not, could be that we're trying to conquer our giant in our own abilities, and that is the flesh, and the flesh can never conquer any victory or any giant. Don't turn there, but in 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse 7, the Bible says, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Did you know tonight that God cares about what you care about? Whatever is concerning to you tonight, whatever is on your mind, your heart, and you are concerned, God cares about that. He cares about your anxiety, and he cares about your problems, and whatever it is on your mind or heart, God cares about that. I love the verse in the Bible that says that God will perfect that which concerneth me. In other words, whatever is concerning to me, whatever is problematic to me, whatever is on my mind and my heart and troubling me, God will bring it to a conclusion. He will mature me. He will grow me. He will bring me through it, and I'll get an education from it. God will perfect the thing in your life that's concerning you. And so tonight, the battle is not yours. The battle is the Lord's. Notice, if you would, in verse number 47, and all this assembly shall know that, David speaking, that the Lord saveth not with sword or spear. God don't need no sword or spear to win a victory in your life or mine. The Bible says, "For the Lord, for the battle is the Lord's, and He will give you into our hands." The battles that we face, we can't fight with physical weapons. In fact, Paul speaks of this spiritual battle. He says, "For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds and bringing into captivity to every thought, to the obedience of Christ." Tonight we are in a spiritual battle that requires spiritual weapons. David says, "This isn't my battle, this is the Lord's battle." And the moment that we recognize that the battle is the Lord's battle and we can't win the battle, we can't succeed this battle, we can't have victory in this battle, the moment we realize that we cannot and God can, we are one step closer to our victory. I promise you that. In fact, many times we suffer defeat and we struggle and we war and all of these things. It brings us to a place of realizing that we can't. And we're closer to depending upon the Lord fully. In fact, Paul mentions as well that the law, thou shalt not this, thou shalt not that, it was a schoolmaster to bring us to Christ. We know we can't fulfill the law. We break the law every day. James says if we're guilty in one aspect of the law, we're guilty of all the commandments. You say, "Brother Justin, I've never murdered anybody." No, but have you lied? Guess what? You're guilty of murder. The Bible says if you broke one, you broke all. That just simply means we can't live up to the law. All right? That law was a schoolmaster. In other words, when we realize we can't live up to the law, that's supposed to bring us to Christ in salvation. Because the Lord fulfilled the law. And when we accept the Lord as our Savior, we stand perfect in His sight. And so I said all that to say this, that the battle is the Lord's tonight. And so I want to mention just about four things, and I hope it'll be a help and a blessing to you. David versus Goliath. Number one, I want to mention that David was in the right fight. He was in the right fight. I'll mention a couple verses in just a moment, but listen to this. David was in the right fight. He was involved in the Lord's battle. He was wanting to defend Israel. Little David. The Bible says he was ruddy. He was young. He was little. He was in other words, a pretty boy. David was a pretty boy wanting to defend Israel. But the pretty boy that David was had nothing to do with the battle other than he was in the right battle, wanting to defend Israel. David wasn't involved with other battles. Hear me tonight. He wasn't involved in keeping up with the latest gossip in town. David was in the right battle. He was in the Lord's battle. He wanted to defend Israel. He wasn't sidetracked. He wasn't hindered. He wasn't caught up in the latest gossip. David didn't choose to have his battle in the area of politics. He wasn't, you know, a lot of people get sidetracked and they feel like that's the number one battle in this world is politics. You know, who's going to be our next president? And no doubt we should vote and all that. But what I'm trying to say is the battle that we should be in is not politics. We should not be all about politics. We should not be in the battle of gossip. And we should not be in worldly battles with all the world's drama and all of that. You see it on the news all the time. It's like, you know, this thing's going on and this thing's going on. This person's making this stance and this person's making this stance. And listen, the stance we ought to make tonight is a stance for the Lord Jesus and the gospel. David was in the right fight. And so we know that he was in the Lord's battle. He wasn't involved with other battles. But also I want to say on this first point, previous battles prepared David for this big battle. Previous battles. Notice this, if you would. We're in 1 Samuel 17. Look, if you would, at verse 34. David wants to fight. David wants to battle. He wants to knock this giant down in the strength of the Lord. Verse 34 says this, "And David said unto Saul, Thy servant kept his father's sheep. And there came a lion and a bear and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him and smote him and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard. Whoa. Young David, beard grabber. He caught him by his beard, the Bible says. And smote him and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear. And this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God. David said, moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine. And Saul said unto David, go, and the Lord be with thee. David had previous battle experiences that prepared him for this big battle. It was the day that David was tending the flock, and he was giving them food and water. Maybe David had even had his sheep named. Maybe he was even, you know, stroking and petting his sheep. Then all of a sudden, wham, just like that, a lion. And then over here, all of a sudden, wham, a bear. Grabbed them. Verse 34 again, and David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And David said, without hesitation, he said, there was a courage that came into me during that time, and I grabbed the bear by the beard. I grabbed my lamb out of the paw of the lion and out of those wild beasts, and I rescued them. David didn't know that that was pre-training for this big event. Sometimes in life, let me just back up and say, more than sometimes in life, all the time, God is preparing you now for something later. God prepares us with previous battles. I do want to note this, though. When David wanted to face Goliath, there were some people that said, you can't do it. Verse number 28, it was the brother, the eldest brother, Eliab. Listen to this. Verse 28, and Eliab, his eldest brother, heard when he spake unto the men. And Eliab's anger was kindled against David. He said, why camest thou down hither? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? He is mocking David's occupation. He is criticizing David. He says, why are you here, little boy? This is a man's fight. Shouldn't you be tending your little bitty lambs? Why'd you come down here? And with whom hast thou left those few sheep in the wilderness? I know thy pride and the naughtiness of thine heart, for thou art come down that thou mightest see the battle. His brother said, oh boy, you just come down here to be a spectator. You're not going to be a participator. No. But guess what Eliab was doing? Spectating. And he was not participating. Some of those who are naysayers in this world, listen to me, are those who are spectators and not participators. People have a tendency of running their mouth who are watchers and not workers. I like the saying, it says, it's a question, are you a boat rocker or a boat rower? Boat rocker or boat rower? I want to be a boat rower tonight. Amen? I want to be part of the solution. I don't want to be part of the problem in church. I don't want to be a part of the problem at home. I don't want to be part of the problem in this world. I want to be a boat rower. I don't want to be a boat rocker. Don't rock the boat tonight if you're seeing that it's going in a certain direction. And so we see that previous battles prepared him for this battle. God is preparing you tonight. God has allowed things to happen in your life years gone by to gain experience for what you're going through now. Apply that experience that you've learned then to now. And with God's help, you can have victory in your life. So can I. David was in the right battle. But number two tonight, David recognized his source. We kind of tippy-toed into this already. But look at verse number 45. So we know Goliath and David are matched up, and Goliath is, he is talking trash to David. He says he's going to feed his flesh to the birds of the air, in verse number 44. But verse 45, the Bible says, "Then said David to the Philistines," listen, "thou comest to me with a sword and with a spear and with a shield," not to mention, probably the shield he's talking about is the forerunner in front of Goliath. He said protected him, but Goliath overshadowed this little guy. But Goliath had an armor bearer. He had someone in front of him, the shield. "You come with sword and shield, but I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel." That is a loaded statement. The Lord of hosts, of all hosts, heaven and earth. He says, "I come to you in the name of the Lord of hosts." Then he says, "the God of the armies of Israel." God being Israel's protector, God being Israel's defender, God being Israel's leader. He says, "I come to you in that name." And so David had a, if I could say it this way, he had a warrant from the high sheriff, God, to take Goliath. And tonight God has given you a warrant from heaven for you to take out the enemies in your life, those battles, those giants, whatever it might be. You can't defeat it, but you can in the strength of the Lord. And so David recognized his source tonight. "I come to thee in the name of the Lord of hosts, the God of the armies of Israel, whom thou hast defied." Verse 46, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand." I think we need to wake up in the morning, and when we face the day, we need to say this. And I'm speaking to myself first. This day I'll have victory. I'm not worried about the day after tomorrow having victory, because I'll get defeated before I start. I'm not worried about past defeats. I'm not worried about yesterday, because I'll be defeated before I even start. And so David says, this day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand. I think we just need to wake up in the morning, forgetting the past, not focusing on the future, and saying, today God will give me victory. And when I experience that victory, I will trust Him to give me another victory. I like saying it this way. I don't like football. I like baseball. But I like using the first down thing in football. And so it's all about first downs, right? Till you make it to the end zone, score a touchdown. What is it? 4 or 5 yards. And then there's a first down, 4 or 5 yards. I believe it's 4 yards, something like that. Don't worry about scoring a touchdown. Just worry about getting a first down. We need to think about life and victory as steps, day by day, trusting the Lord. Don't worry about getting through tomorrow and the next day and the next day. You just think about getting that first down. Because once you get that first down, then you get another 4 tries to get another first down. First down. First down. Next thing you know, you're going to score a touchdown. Let us get some first downs in our life. First downs. David says, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into mine hand. And I will smite thee," verse 46, "and I will give the carcasses of the host of the Philistines this day unto the fowls of the air." David turned a page on them. "And to the wild beasts of the earth, that all the earth may know that there is a God in Israel." What boldness and what courage. You say, "Brother Justin, I don't have that tonight." I know you don't. I don't either. But if a small, pretty boy can take out a giant and have that amount of courage within him, you and I can have that same amount of courage in us. So we see David recognized his source. When he recognized the Lord as his source, courage was present. Courage was present. Again, "This day will the Lord deliver thee into my hand." Don't turn there, but Joshua chapter 1, verse 9, some of you can quote it. "Have not I commanded thee," the Lord speaking to Joshua, "be strong and of a good courage. Be not afraid, neither be thou dismayed, for the Lord thy God is with thee whithersoever thou goest." That phrase, talking about courage, being of good courage, if my mind serves me correctly, it's mentioned at least four times in chapter 1. I think it's more than that. So he's emphasizing that God wants us to be courageous, but yet God will enable us to be courageous if we recognize that we can't and he can. Again, simple solution to a giant problem. Easier preached than lived, but at the end of the day, what else are we going to do? David recognized his source, and that was the Lord. But then let me mention a third thing. So number one, David was in the right battle. Number two, David recognized his source. But number three, David's victory caused rejoicing. David got victory over Goliath, and because of that, the people of God rejoiced. So look at verse number 50. So David prevailed over the Philistine with a sling and with a stone, and smote the Philistine and slew him, but there was no sword in the hand of David. Listen to this. I believe tonight, if that was another young boy who was trusting in his own strength and slung a stone, I don't believe it would have knocked down Goliath. If it was somebody, another young boy, trusting that he could do it, he could take out the giant. Or somebody in Israel, if they were to throw a stone or even use their sword or spear, I don't believe they would have killed Goliath. But God used one little stone in the hand of David, because it's not about the size of something. It's all about who is enabling you to do that. We know the story, the miracle of the loaves, the fish and the loaves. The Lord turned to Philip and he tested Philip. Philip, what are we going to do? You believe that? The Lord asked Philip what to do. He was testing him. Philip said, Lord, we only have so much money. There's no way that we can provide for all of these that are hungry. And we know that eventually this little lad walked up and gave the Lord his two fish and five loaves. And see, there's no way two fish and five loaves can feed a multitude. There's just no way. 5,000 plus. And that's only counting the men, 5,000. So if there's at least a wife and one child, 15,000 people. Two fish and five loaves won't fill me up. Much less 15,000. But he gave his little bit into the hand of Almighty God. There was a transfer. And then God took what that little bit that the little boy had and he transformed it. I've said that before, but I love that, because it's not about your strength, how much strength you may have or don't have. It's all about transferring what you have, transferring your mindset, transferring your physical abilities, transferring your resources, just giving what you have to God and asking God to use it. We've asked God to use some things around here lately, haven't we, Brother Randy? We have transferred Calvary into the hands of God in 2024. I have always wanted the Lord to bless this church since we've been here, but there's something different about 2024. We have transferred things. I have transferred the burden of this church to the Lord's hands. And I know that when I transfer what I have to God's hands, He can do so much more with it in His hands. Look what God has done in the past, what, month or two? And listen, has there ever been TVs on this wall? I'm speaking tonight in my heart. Has there ever been TVs, I mean, I know they're older TVs, things being updated and things being made new? It's been a while, hasn't it? Well, see, whenever we transfer things into God's hands, He can do so much in a little amount of time. We've been here for 5 years and have done none of this. Going into our sixth year, God is making it happen. I'm sick and tired of going through the routine. I'm sick and tired of just coming to church and going home. The hours of study, the hours of praying. And listen, I enjoy doing those things, but I want to get somewhere tonight. And so from the leadership of this church, moving forward, we're going somewhere with or without you. And I'm not talking to any particular person. I'm just saying tonight, we're moving forward. And it's so exciting. Tonight, if you just give God what you got, He can bless it. I thank the Lord. I thank God tonight that He can give us victory. One little boy whose heart was totally dependent upon God picked up 5 stones but only had to use one. He knew for sure that God was at the helm of his life. He was walking with God, talking with God. People didn't believe in him, but he grabbed that sling. He slung it around and threw it, wham, right in the forehead of Goliath. You know what he did? It's like one of them old cartoons. And the ground shook. But that didn't stop there. David ran over and jumped on him, in my mind, grabbed the sword out, and then he decapitated his head. Just right off. Didn't stop there. He said, you know what? That'd make a good souvenir. That head. I can imagine that head of that giant was like this. Big old pumpkin head. Grabbed that head by the hair. David walking back to Jerusalem, back to his tent. Oh boy. What's wrong with you? Why can't you say nothing? Oh, that's right. You're dead. Gone. And we know that head was delivered to prove what David did. And so tonight, there is, when David accomplished this, guess what? David defeated Goliath, verse 50, but look at 52. That's the point I'm trying to get to. And the men of Israel and of Judah arose, which means they were sitting in fear, and shouted. When's the last time you just shouted for the Lord? Sometimes fear cripples our shouts. And pursued the Philistines until thou come to the valley and to the gates of Ekron. And the wounded of the Philistines fell down by the way to Shaaraim, even unto Gath and unto Ekron. So we see that because of David's victory, it inspired others. Your walk with God is either inspiring to others or depressing to others. And I'm talking about me too. Like Otis Nixon said, one finger's going out and three's coming back. My walk with God is either inspiring your walk with God, or you're looking at me saying, I don't want to be like Brother Justin. This, he looks not that inspiring. You know, I want to have an inspiring walk with God. I want to be a refreshing Christian. In the book of Philemon, he talks about that. Paul does that. Philemon was he refreshed the bowels of the Christians, of the brethren. Are we refreshing Christians or depressing Christians? David calls this victory, the people of God experienced victory. They arose, they shouted, pursued the enemy. And they actually got and gathered their spoil, all that they had in their tents. David's victory calls rejoicing. Let us, when we don't feel like going on anymore, let us just reach deep down in the well of grace. Grab a handful and say, God, I'm not going to bow. I'm not going to bend. I'm not going to buckle. I'm not going to quit. I'm not going to faint. I don't feel good, God. I'm experiencing fatigue and bewilderment of mind, but I'm moving on forward because there's others watching me. I want to be a blessing tonight, don't you? That's what David was. The men of Israel, they arose. That brother that was critiquing him, it got him up out of his seat. It got him up out of his seat. Saul, the leader, got him up, the whole army up. And so David's victory calls rejoicing. Let me mention one more thing and we'll be through. Not only that, but we see David's battle remembrances. David's battle remembrances. Look at verse 54. And David took the head of the Philistine and brought it to Jerusalem. I told you he did. But he put his armor, not David's armor, he didn't have any. He put Goliath's armor in his own tent, in David's tent. David, and I believe if you go and you read, I believe it's over, well, it's around 1 Samuel 21:9. talks about the armor of Goliath, the sword of Goliath. David kept the sword of Goliath in his tent. Why did he do that? I'm not asking for a reply. I'm just a rhetorical question. No response necessary. Why did David deliver the head but bring home the sword into his tent? You may have heard this before, but I'll tell you why. It was a trophy of not what David could do, but what God could do. It was a trophy. I'm sure everybody in here tonight has some spiritual trophies in your mind and heart of what God has done in your life. When you were at a dead end and you thought you was going to die, but God opened up the waters for you and allowed you to pass through on dry ground. I believe you have some trophies. I have some trophies. God has done amazing things in my life. God has allowed me to run out of my own resources. God has brought me to the place, and even recently, of literally just laying myself out at His feet and said, God, I want something to happen. I'm not playing any games. God, I think, wants us to get to a place of total dependency. Paul, before the thorn in the flesh, was a man of God. But God still gave him a thorn in the flesh because he wanted to get closer to Paul. And the closer Paul would get toward God, the more power Paul would have. I said it Sunday night, I believe, but talked about that thorn in the flesh. He's talked about that thorn in the flesh. You know, I don't want to have it, but I have it, and I'd rather glory. I glory in this. I don't enjoy this thorn. I don't enjoy this pain, but I do have a sense of rejoicing because of this thorn, because the power of Christ is resting upon me. The power of God. And where he says the power of Christ resteth upon me is through the idea of a tent. The top part of a tent, the fabric part, just going over the tent. Whenever you are at your lowest, God's at His closest. And so during those hard times where you're facing giants, you may feel like God is nowhere near around. I know I hobby horse sometimes on these subjects about storms and trials and struggling and suffering. Listen, but I think we all need to hear it. But whenever we're going through our darkest times, you may not sense them, feel them, but He's there. Not only because His Word says He's there, but He wants to be there. And so we see that David brought back Goliath's armor because it was a trophy of God's grace. And no doubt there were future situations where David was battling and fighting. And there was one occasion where David almost died when he was older. Goliath had some brothers. There were more giants. And thank God David had some good men to say, David, come on, we're going home. I'm taking you. I don't want you to die on the battlefield. Thank God for those come along our sides and pray for us and help us and love us. And so David had future giants to face. And we'll have future giants to face as well. That's why we have trophies of God's grace, of what God has done, so that we can reflect back on that and we could prostrate ourselves at His feet and just call on God for help to do again what He's already done, and He can get us through it again and get the victory. David's battle remembrances. So we see that there, that Goliath's armor was in his tent. That was our fourth point. Our third point was David's victory caused rejoicing. Our second point was David recognized his source. Our first point was David was in the right fight. And so tonight, that's the lesson. David versus Goliath. What giant is in your life? You can knock that giant down. You can be a giant slayer in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. Father, we love you tonight. We thank you. We praise you for all things. The good, the bad, the ugly even. And we praise you for that because we know that all things work together for good. God, if we belong to you tonight, there's nothing that can come into our life that isn't first filtered and sifted through your hands. And so, Lord, we just trust you tonight with every area of our life. And Father, I pray that someone here tonight, I pray that if they're going through a hard time facing a giant, that they were encouraged and inspired from this familiar story of David versus Goliath. Father, as we leave and go our separate ways, keep us safe. Help us wake up in the morning and say what David said. This day will the Lord deliver the enemy into my hand. This day, not yesterday, not tomorrow, but this day. Help us take it one day at a time. Help us get that first down and build from there. We love you tonight and we thank you and we praise you. In Jesus' name, we do pray with thanksgiving in our hearts. Amen and amen. All right, anything to add in conclusion before we go home?